Good Night and Go by Imogen Heap, and you are listening to Slime Time Radio Hour on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Toss Freeform Radio. Happy Marathon Monday to those running and those celebrating. Big day. One of my favorite parts about going to school in Boston is you get a holiday on a random Monday in April that no one else has, and you don't have school. Isn't that awesome? Anyway, I've got kind of an exciting show planned today. I was thinking, given that it's April 20th, I'm gonna tell you who has a story today. It's story time with Janie on the radio. So what we just heard was Good Night and Go by Imogen Heap, which is, like, dare I say, a classic? And we're gonna hear more songs, and I've, get this, I've corresponded the songs to the story I'm gonna tell. And it is going to take a whole hour, and it's going to be awesome, okay? So just lock into this. It's going to be great. Okay, so our next song is Baby, I'm Not Sure If This Is Love, and by Club 8, because it's such a good song. But basically, you're going to walk with me, okay? And I'm going to take you through what it's like to listen to these songs if you were me last year. Almost exactly a year ago. Okay, here's what we're gonna do. So about a year ago, I was in my spring semester, my junior year. It was the hardest semester of my life. I was taking so many hard classes and I was working two jobs, and which, by the way, of my own volition, like, why was I doing all that? Unclear. I was taking 19 credits. It was intense. I had just come back from studying abroad in London. I was living in a sublet. I was living behind Carmichael Dining Hall, if that's important to the story. It actually is. So I'm living on top of the hill. Every day I gotta walk back from class, I'm walking up like a serious incline, okay? It's tough. It's a tough semester. Kind of earlier on, I would say about February, I end up reconnecting with an old classmate. We had taken a class together, I think the year before, and we hadn't really talked during the class, but we ended up reconnecting and becoming good friends. And, you know, one day, we were seeing each other all the time. We were hanging out. We're watching movies. We're going to the library. We watched a lot of movies. It was a thing. And, you know, one day, we're in the library. Tisch Library, thanks. And it's the middle of the night, because we're studying. If you can believe it, we're studying. We're doing homework. Anyway, we're in the library. And I'm like, bro, this is tough. I don't want to freaking do my homework anymore. I'm working on my entrepreneurial finance homework. Okay, I'm working on a case study. That's right. Janie Rue working on a case study. Can you believe that? Anyway, I'm doing my Excel spreadsheets, my pro formas, and I'm dying. I'm going, this is not right. And bro is over here reading poetry. I said, what homework are you doing? Well, he's an English major, so he's doing his English homework. And we end up talking about, you know, poetry, art, and we just can't stop agreeing with each other. It's ridiculous. You know, everything I say, he's going, you know, that's really interesting. I have another point to add on to that. We're there for like 3 hours just talking about it. And hey, you know, sometimes one thing leads to another, okay? So the things lead into each other, and all of a sudden, you know, things are maybe more than friends. And now for me at this point, I'm going, okay, I've never done this before, right? I don't have a lot of experience in this area. But from what I've learned and gathered from my friends around me, the situations around me, clear communication is required. That seems to be key. So I'm going, I have a great idea. I'm going to clearly communicate. So, you know, one day we go for a walk. We had just watched Lego Batman, one of the best movies maybe ever. And I go, hey, let's go for a walk. We're walking around. We end up by the Mystic River Parkway. Classic. And he goes, oh, you want to see this creepy old building you're here? I said, absolutely. Show me this creepy, weird building. We end up at the Tufts Office of Equal Opportunity. Classic. There's a parking deck in front of it. So we're standing up on that parking deck. And I'm going, hey, man, there's something I wanted to tell you. And he's going, yeah, what do you want to tell me? And I go, great question. What are your thoughts on, picture this, okay? We just ponder the idea of having feelings for each other. And he goes, okay, interesting proposition. And I go, yeah. Okay, I cannot guarantee anything because I don't know how this works and I don't know if it will. But what I'm sensing, call me crazy, is we're kind of reaching a sort of line in the sand here. You know, in a lot of ways, I would argue that we've crossed the line already. But I don't know how this is going to happen. So this is what I'm doing, right, on the parking deck. And he's going, you know what? No, I think that's a good idea. I think we should both consider it. And I said, great, let's both consider it. And I said, going forward, I just want to let you know that, you know, and if anything ever changes, kind of positive or negatively, you will be hearing about it. Yeah, I'm going to be telling you. And it's going to be almost impossible for me to not tell you. I'm about to be the most open anyone's ever been. And he's like, you know what? Yeah, let's shake on it. Let's tell each other the truth. And I said, for sure. So, you know, we walk back from that parking deck. We walk back to my house. And at this point, it's maybe right before spring break. You know, and we're sitting on the back stoop of my house. And I go, hey, you know, spring break is coming up. And, you know, we're not going to see each other for about a week. So why don't we, you know, take that week, think about it. And when we come back from that week, we'll make some solid decisions, why don't we? And he said, yeah, let's do it. So then spring break happens, you know. And of course, hey, we're talking every day. We're talking every day of spring break. We're on those Instagram DMs. We're on that iMessage sort of thing. We're talking every day. And, you know, the more things we talk about, the more I'm like, this guy's pretty chill. Hey, he's pretty cool, you know? And at one point, key to the story, context-wise, is I have four best friends, okay? And at this point, they're all dating a respective other friend. They're not all dating each other, okay? But they've paired up. So that leaves me with a lot of free time on my hands, okay? I had a lot of time. A lot of free time. So I'm going, all right, with all my free time, what should I do? I gotta find more people to hang out with that aren't dating each other. And, you know, this is where I found myself. So one night we're talking on iMessages. And I'm going, you know, I think this is really about to turn into something serious. So we come back from spring break. And it's a Sunday, I recall. And, you know, actually, it was March 23rd. And I went, hey, man, I know that more important context drop. You're going abroad for all of this coming academic year. You're going to London, famously. So you're going to be gone. And it's going to be my senior year. So picture this. We start dating now. We break up before you leave. And he goes, okay, see, and I'm glad you said something because I couldn't figure out a good way to bring it up. I said, hey, no worries. No worries, man. And he goes, you know, I have some, you know, it may be some points of consternation when it comes to, you know, prearranging a breakup. And I said, for sure, for sure. But consider this. Keep it light, keep it casual, keep it fun. See it through to the end. There we go. And he goes, that was pretty convincing. And I go, hey, I'm a famous convincer. So we end up shaking on it. He goes, okay, let's do it. So that day we start dating. And I'll tell you what the next few weeks sounded like. They sounded like Cosmic by Red Velvet. So let's get into that.
Oh, 너는 성큼 다가와 끌린 손 내밀며 함께 떠나자 해 보지 못한 것들 찾아 해 I just can't say
So it's spring, the flowers are blooming, everything's amazing, things are awesome. I'm realizing now exactly why people have boyfriends, because it's baller. I really didn't get it up until this point. I said, why have a boyfriend? You can just have a bunch of friends. And I'll tell you what, as much as friends are really awesome, there is kind of a moment where you can, where only a boyfriend will serve. In terms of sometimes you have a bad day and you go, hey, I need a hug right now. And you can freaking get that right away. I'll tell you what, pretty awesome. So, you know, things are awesome. I'm barely surviving my course load, everything is still great. It's no worries, you know. I'm really starting to understand your arms are my castle, your heart is my sky. You know, things are, hey. Did I say it? Things were awesome. We were going on all these walks. We watched even more movies. Okay, you wouldn't believe the amount of movies we watched. I'm just really a film guy, if you think about it. You know, side tangent on the topic. I watched a movie last night, and I was like, oh wait, should I have been logging all these movies that I'm watching on my Letterboxd, famously the thing for logging movies? But I really just can't get behind it because it's. It just makes me spend the whole movie thinking about what witty comment I'm going to make on Letterboxd. So anyway, at this point in the story, we have, you know, classically, we have a shared Spotify playlist. We have all sorts of things going on. And at one point, I meet his best friend from home, become friends with her too. Sorry. Just becoming friends with a lot of his friends. He's meeting my friends, and I'll tell you what, he wows. He shows up in a tie. A tie and a button down. He shows up to dinner, and I thought he did a pretty good job. Not that I was necessarily concerned to bring him around to my friends, but I'll tell you what, he was a little bit of a nerd. So, if the tie wasn't evidence enough. Anyway, but it went well, I would say. They did, obviously, grill him. Sorry. I thought it was kind of funny, so I let it slide. Is that such a crime? But yeah, it was really serious. Well, actually, it wasn't serious. But then things got serious because I'm about to tell you the truth. About 2 weeks into dating, he went on a trip to New York. With his younger brother and his uncle and his best friend. And they went to go see a concert of his favorite band. And he was away, maybe Thursday to Sunday. And I was going, oh, the one friend that you didn't get to meet, famously one of my best friends, is available this Sunday for dinner. But I know you're going to be coming back from the city that day. So da, da, da. He goes, no, I'm going to take the bus straight to I'm going to take the bus from New York City to BU, and I will be there for dinner. And I said, okay, if you're sure, like, I really don't. And he goes, no, I'll be there. And I go, okay, so I'll see you on Sunday. It's Friday. It's Friday, and I go, and, you know, his best friend's driving back from New York City on her lonesome. So I'm on the phone with her almost the whole time she's driving back. And she's going, hey, I'm listening to you talk, and it kind of sounds like you have really strong feelings for my best friend. And I went, well, yeah, we're dating. And she went, mm-hmm. Which one do you think? just want you, you know, just reflect. And I said, okay, I'm reflecting. And then I went, hold on, I think I have to make a call. And she goes, yeah, why don't you go make that call? Or don't, do whatever you want. And I said, okay, goodbye, I have to go call someone. So I hang up on her, and I call him. I go, hey, are you busy right now? And he goes, no, I'm watching a movie with my brother. And I said, great, I have something to tell you. And he goes, okay, what do you have to tell me? And I go, hey, I know it's been 2 weeks. Picture this. I think I might be in love with you. And he went, I'm going to have to step outside really quick. So he steps outside and he goes, okay, I'm hearing you. I don't know what to say. And I said, mm-hmm, fair enough. And he went, okay, what about the plan, the capital P plan of breaking up? And I go, that's a good question. I hadn't thought about that. I really just came to this conclusion about 20 minutes ago. So give me a second to think about it. So I think about it. And I go, hey, I think that this is only happening within the context of the plan, famously. This would not be happening if we didn't have, you know, kind of a ticking time bomb over our shoulders. So I'm thinking it's kind of within the plan. And he goes, okay, yeah, well, within the plan for sure. He was like, I just wanted to make sure, because he said, you know, I think the combination of my aversion to long distance and the strength of feelings I have for you makes a plan imperative. And I said, you know what? Sure. Yeah, with you. So then that happens over the phone, right? And then it's Sunday. And this is what's going through my mind. Favorite Color by Carly Rae Jepsen. This is getting kind of serious. This is getting kind of out of control. Out of control. Slow down now. Breathing heavy when it's just a kiss. This is getting kind of out of my hands. Out of my hands. Please don't go. Look real close.
Close eyes that show kaleidoscope.
So at this point, it's like we're looking into each other's eyes and I'm seeing sparkles. It's crazy. I've never in my life experienced something like that. I didn't think that was a possible thing to happen. But you know, like he would say my name and like little bells would ring, something like that. It was crazy. And things continue. And well, actually that Sunday, you know, he came to BU, he met my friends, it went awesome. And we were leaving and we walked through Brookline because there was a hockey game, so we couldn't catch an Uber right from the dorm. So we walked through Brookline, and I, at that point, it was maybe the beginning of April, middle of April, unclear. And I was like, when the flowers are seriously blooming, I'm going to bring you back to Brookline because it's one of my favorite places in the spring. And I'm going to show you the flowers. And he was like, for sure, let's make that happen. And I said, great. And, you know, famously, finals were coming up, end of classes. And if we recall earlier, I was taking the hardest course load of my life. So every time we saw each other, we're studying, we're logging in, we're going to the library, we're studying, you know, to various levels of success. My final season was looking like 2 minimum 10-page research papers, an actual test, which was new for me, a group project. It was just a lot. A lot of things were happening, you know. I also had a quilting final to do. Okay, there was a lot going on. But, you know, one day we went out for a walk. And we're out on the walk and I'm feeling just sort of, there's like all of a sudden this sort of like, there's just kind of a weird vibe. And I'm going, hey man, what's this weird vibe? Like, you feeling that? What's this weird vibe? And he asked me, he goes, hey, you know, with the plan, what kind of timeline were you thinking in regards to the plan? And I was like, well, this might just be, honestly, I don't think this is very realistic, but I was kind of imagining goodbye at the airport, but I don't think that's going to happen. And he went, right, okay. Because I've been thinking about it, and he was going to go away for a part of the summer to Bosnia with his father. but he was going to be gone from like mid-June to mid-July. And he was like, I don't know, things, I'm just like feeling weird about that. And I was like, okay, well, you think about why that makes you feel weird and you get back to me. Because I can't really help if it's just weirdness. And it, he went, yeah, I'll think about it. I'll get back to you. So we go on that walk and we get back to my place. And I'm just kind of, there's this, a sense of doom in the air. And I was like, what is that? Because nothing's wrong. Nothing's technically wrong, right? But I don't know. There was just like you could just feel it in the air. So, you know, one day, a couple days later, I go to Tisch Roof. I'm sitting on Tisch Roof. We're supposed to meet up to study. I get there early. I'm on Tisch Roof. And I call my dad. And for the first time ever, I tell him that I'm dating someone. Crazy. And he goes, okay, well, you know, he's kind of through gritted teeth a little bit. He's okay, well, are you happy? And I went, yeah, right now I am happy. I've already at this point detailed to him the plan. So he's going, okay, fine, I get, like, okay. Like, okay, I don't know, okay. And he was like, well, are you happy? I go, yes. And he goes, okay, well, if you're happy and you're sure, then I'm happy. I went, look at the two of us, both happy. And he goes, what do you like about him? And I go, hey, fair question. Everyone's curious. And I would say the thing I liked the most about him is that I was very truthful with him the whole time we saw each other, which took a lot of work. Not that I'm a liar by nature, but, you know, being vulnerable about these things, you know, it's hard. And so one thing that was always true is that he always met me with incredible earnesty, shocking amounts of earnesty. And I think that was really what I needed in that moment. And he was always just there, which was awesome. And, you know, so I'm sitting up on that roof, and I finish the call with my dad. A single tear falls out of my eye, and I'm listening to Nomad by Claro. Over the city of Boston on Tisch Roof. It's dark out, so the skyline is twinkling. And I can't get over this feeling that something's up. And I'm listening to this song, and I hear the jingle of keys. He comes running up. He sees me crying, and he goes, oh my, are you okay? What's going on? He sits down next to me. He goes, what's going on? And I go, oh, I just called my dad. And he was like, wow, big move. And I said, yeah, it was a big one. And he goes, I wanted to talk to you about what I said the other day. I thought about it more, and first of all, I'm sorry for bringing it up before. I had thought about it harder. That was not appropriate. And I was like, no, it's fine. What do you have to say? And I go, actually, you know what, before you say anything, I just wanted to tell you that, you know, no matter what happens, my personal commitment is that I like to date for as long as possible, whatever that is. And he goes, okay, well, I have to tell you what I was gonna say. And I go ahead. And he goes, well, I thought about it a lot. And he was like, I feel like the things that we're trying to avoid by breaking up before I go to London are things that I might feel if we are dating while I go to Bosnia, because he's like, I'm gonna be gone for a month, and then after I get back, like, I'll have to leave pretty soon after. And I was like, okay. And he goes, so I don't really know what to do about that. And I go, well, based on the data, it kind of sounds like maybe we should break up before you leave then. And he goes, yeah. And I go, I said, if, and he goes, but that seems to be kind of in direct conflict with what you just said. And I go, well, no, it isn't. I said, as long as possible. And if that's what you feel is as long as possible, then that's how it is. And he goes, I'm really sorry. And I go, hey, listen. Well, first of all, I don't think I'm going to go back with you to New Hampshire and meet your parents, as we had planned. And he went, right. That makes sense. And I go, I'm gonna take some time. I'm going to think about this, and I'll get back to you. But for right now, let's just assume that we're going to date until you go. And he goes, okay. And I go, if you get to pseudo break up with me on Tish Roof, I think I get to actually break up with you when we're actually doing it. And he said, totally fair. Let's shake on it. So we shake on it again. And we go into the library to study. And I'll tell you what, I didn't get anything done. I step outside and I call my older brother. I go, hey man, I've got a bit of a sitch on my hands, because now I'm coming to a decision. Do I call it quits when he leaves school at the end of May, at the beginning of May actually, or he goes home and we see each other maybe a couple of times before he goes in the middle of June? What do I do? And my brother goes, well, hey, my brother goes, I don't know if I'm really the best person to ask about this, because I think you should dump him. And I went, right. And I can see how you would think that. And he goes, hey, do whatever you need to do. Okay, this is also famously coming from my older brother, who's had his fair share of relationship drama. And he's going, hey, you do what you need to do, but I think you should dump him ASAP. Thanks for the help, man. So, you know, I think I spend the next 3 days thinking on it. And funnily enough, one of the songs that he had added to our shared playlist, maybe 2 months prior, was this song by the Violent Femmes. I know it's true, but I'm sorry to say. Kind of famously not funny, right? And so I'm listening to this song, and I spend the next 3 days thinking about it. I call my mom, I call a lot of people, and I go, hey, I don't know what to do. Because, you know, if I'm thinking logistically, pros and cons, probably makes more sense to break up beginning of May. But that's a whole month and a half that I'm throwing to the wind. Seems like... I don't know. What do I do? So I thought about it long and hard. And the thing is, from the get-go, I knew what the right answer was. I just didn't like it. I was going to be staying in Boston for the summer. And, you know, it was just, I think it was, you know, a fresh start, you know? And I okay, I came to a few decisions. And I went, all right, here I am at my decisions. So I sent them a text. I go, hey, are you free to talk? And we meet on a bench across the street from Olin at the top of the hill. We sit on that bench. It's, again, the middle of the night. He was studying at Tisch Library. And we are sitting on that bench. And I go, okay, I have a few resolutions that I've come to. I'm going to list them all for you. And then we can discuss them. He went, all right, hit me. I go, first one, you're uninvited from the dinner party that I had just invited you to with all my friends. And he said, okay, fair enough. And I go, I think we should break up in May when you leave school. And he went, it's probably for the best. And I went, third, I don't know if this is cheesy, but I think we should go on one last date. And he went, okay. Because the first week of May, about 3 weeks prior, we had planned that weekend to go see the flowers in Brookline. And I said, I'd like to still do that. So my proposal is, this coming Saturday, we go to Brookline, we see the flowers, and then we break up when you leave on Monday. And he went, it's probably for the best, isn't it? And I went, yeah, probably for the best. And, you know, we talk about it some more, and he goes, yeah, you know, I agree. I think this is probably... Turns out he had called everyone he knew, too. And he went, it seems to be a pretty big consensus on this one. And I went, yeah, probably. And as we're sitting on that bench in Olin, about four different people we know walk past us. Hey, what's up? And we sit on that bench. We once again shake on it. And we go our separate ways for the night. And I'm like, okay, time to plan the most impactful date of my life. But at that point, you know, it was maybe like Tuesday of that week, and I'm looking at the weather and I'm going, uh-oh, the weather is looking not good. It looks like it's going to rain all day on Saturday. And I was like, what do we, so we can't see the flowers if it's going to be raining. Like, what do we do? But as we creep closer, you know, the chance of rain starts going down, and I'm like, okay, maybe we can make this work. Maybe we can make this happen. And I plan this whole day for us in Brookline. And then, the night before, I'm like, okay, what do I wear? And I decide to wear this like bright yellow dress that I have, 'cause I'm like, maybe that will summon the sun and then it won't be raining. And I go to sleep and I wake up and it's beautifully sunny. It's so bright outside. It's ridiculously sunny. It's like 80 degrees. It's beautiful out, right? So we go out and we take the train down to Coolidge Corner. On the way there, he finds $20 on the ground. Whoa, that's great. I feel like that's a lot of money to find on the ground. Anyway, he finds $20 on the ground. He's wearing a tie again. And we get to Coolidge Corner and we have bagels and we're sitting on a curb under these like beautifully green trees and the sun is shining through and there's like a soft breeze and everything is amazing. And it is like we can't stop laughing about the fact that we're on one last date. And then we go to Boston General Store and they sell fountain pens there. And famously, one of the things we bonded over is the fact that we've both been following the same stationery newsletter since we were in middle school. So we got matching fountain pens. Sue me. We can continue our way through Brookline. We go into the Emerald Necklace, and we're sitting there in the Emerald Necklace. Hey, key point to note. I have my camcorder with me because I had promised him that I would take really nice pictures of him at some point because he thinks he's... like, not photogenic, but he's just not iPhone photogenic. Some people are not, you know? But anyway, I have the camcorder, and it was unfortunately recording, as I didn't notice, so there is about 11 minutes of candid conversation on my camcorder, which is sometimes tough. But hey. But hey. Anyway, so we're sitting there, and we're talking about the fact that we're both planning on getting haircuts. And I go, hey, you know, I'm thinking about it. My hair was really long at that point. I was like, I don't know if I can cut it all off like I planned. That's just a big change. And he's like, well, you know, sometimes you need change. Makes you feel a little bit lighter. And I was like, okay, enough of the metaphors. Like, no, hey, pack it up. Let's go. So we walked to SMFA, and it's the sidewalk sale that day. And so we purchased a few things to support my fellow students. And then we walked to Matcha Maiko, famously in Fenway. Awesome. And I'll tell you what, Matcha Maiko, you walk in there, if it's busy, it's busy. There's nowhere to sit. Everything takes forever. It's crazy. And they also only play K-pop. We walk in, Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen is playing, which is important for many different reasons. But I was like, what are the chances? Anyway, we walk in there. There happens to be one table, two seats open. It's jam-packed, but for some reason. Anyway, we sit. We somehow get our ice cream right away, despite everything. It's crazy. And then we sit in Matcha Maiko for a while. Things are starting to get, a little more somber. We end up walking into the fence, sitting in that giant willow tree that kind of, the branch kind of goes down to the water. We sit on the branch and we're talking about all different things. And I end up telling him about this show that I've watched that I really think he would like. And I'm telling him about the first season and I'm about to tell him about the second season. And he goes, wait, I'm going to watch it. And then we can talk about it more. And I went, okay, because kind of, just timeline wise, I don't know how that's going to work out. But he was like, no, I'm going to do it. And I was like, okay. And I was like, well, we've reached the end of my itinerary, but it's about 4 p.m. and we have until 6. So is there anything that you want to do? And he goes, let's walk to the commons. And I go, okay. And we walk to the commons. And as we're walking there, the wind is starting to pick up. There's kind of like a light cloud cover coming in. And we stop at Prudential Mall, and we're in there, and there's giant skylights in there. And I'm looking up at the skylights, and these sort of just like ominous clouds are rolling in. And I'm going, it feels a little on the nose. We're walking through Copley, and every time the wind blows harder, he's holding my hand tighter and tighter. And I'm going, right. Cool. Yeah, this is totally fine. This is going to be chill. We get to the Boston Commons, and the energy is insane because it was such a nice day. So there's so many people out, but now the weather is really taking a rapid turn. So people are kind of getting whipped up into a frenzy, and we sit down on a bench near Park Street, near the station, and we're looking at like a clearing between the trees straight into the sky, and it's literally a black shape in the sky as these dark clouds start rolling in. And we're like, at this point, it's not even, it doesn't even feel like metaphor. Like, it's just so cliche. Like, what is even going on? And we're talking to each other on this bench. And obviously, we're not really paying attention to people walking past us. But clear as day, this woman walks past. And she goes, I hear it's 100% chance of rain at 6. And I can tell that both of us have heard her. And I look at my watch. It's 5:55. I go, okay. I was like, how about we sit here until it starts raining? And he goes, yeah, let's do that. So we're sitting there, and it's like eye contact competition. Both of us are having a hard time. And we end up kissing. We kiss, okay? The Park Street church bell tolls 6. It starts drizzling. A single tear rolls out of my eye. It starts pouring. We get up from the bench. We run into the train station. We're drenched. We're standing in the train station like, what? And then we get on the train. And famously, as it had been happening all day, the train was packed and there was 2 seats open right next to each other. Perfect. We sit on the train and we go all the way back to Medford Tufts. And all I can think about is like, damn. I can't believe it's going to be raining when we have to walk back to my house. It's going to be so annoying. It's going to be raining. And, we're sitting on that train. And nowadays, when I see very somber couples on the T, I cut them a little slack because I was like, I've been there. Sometimes you got to be hella somber on the T. It happens. And we get out of the train station and it's barely raining anymore. It's like drizzling. I'm like, what? Okay, what are the chances? We're walking down Boston Ave, and the sun is starting to peek through the clouds. And he's like, he was like, I think if I wrote this down, people would say that it was fake. And I said, I know. If we get up to the top of that hill on Winthrop, and there's a rainbow, it's over. I'm calling it quits. And he goes, no, that would be too far. That would be too far. And I go, I agree. We get up to the top of the hill. And we look down the street, we look down Tesla Ave, and the clouds have parted and the golden sun has come out from amongst the clouds. I swear to God, the raindrops are like hovering in the air. And he's standing at the end of my walkway up to my house and he goes, okay, I'm gonna see you later. And I went, right. And he goes, this is kind of just a see you later. This isn't really a goodbye. And I went, yeah. The sun is like catching sideways through his eyes and like time has stopped and it's crazy. And I'm like, it really feels like we're saying goodbye. And he goes, no, I'll see you later. And I went, yeah. And he goes, okay, goodbye. And I went, okay, so why would you say that? Anyway, so we say bye to each other. He turns around. I watch him walk down the street. He turns the corner. About 2 seconds later, I get a text. Turns out there was a rainbow around that corner. And I go, all right, enough. Pack it up. I go, you know what? I'm done with this. So I start walking. I walk down the street. I walk to the Mystic River Parkway. And I cross the street. Because across the street and a little bit down the way is a bridge over the Mystic River. And that's kind of my spot. So I'm walking there, but I'm realizing I'm not going to catch the sunset in time. So I start running. And, you know, it must have really been quite the scene. I mean, my long hair and this bright yellow dress, I'm booking it down the street, down this path. And I finally get to the bridge just in time, right? And I'm standing there on the bridge. And I'm watching the sunset, and I made it just in time. And I'm watching the sunset, and all I can think about is, like, I don't think I could see him again. I don't think I could do all this again. That was so tough. And rain clouds start rolling in again. I go, oh, so now we have jokes. So now we have jokes, I see. But I go, you know what? I'm going to stay here until it starts raining, and then I'll walk home. This song is on repeat. This is All I Ask by Adele. And I go, okay, you know what? That's fine. I'm just gonna walk back and it's gonna be fine. The raindrops start falling. I start walking back. It's dark now. And I'm feeling out my pockets. I'm checking for my keys. And I go, wait, hold on. Why are only my keys in my pocket? Because what else was in my pocket? If you recall, that fountain pen we had bought earlier that day, that matching fountain pens, mine is gone. And I go, oh, you have to be kidding. You have to be kidding. And I'm like, it must have fallen out of my pocket on the way here. So I'm frantically searching for it, but it's dark and the path is gravel and it's raining and I can't see anything. And I'm crying because Adele is playing and because of my general situation as well. And I'm looking for it and I can't find it. And I have about maybe 20 feet left before it's over and it's not there, right? And I say out loud, because I don't know why, but I say out loud, I was like, if I can't find the pen, I know what that means. Because, you know, at this point, everything, all day, symbols. And I go, if I can't find the pen, I know that it won't work as friends, which is what we said it would work as. Just as I say that, something catches my eye. I make a full 90-degree turn, and I look down at the ground, and on the ground, there's a drain cover, and perched right above it is my red fountain pen. I pick it up, the song ends, the rain stops. And I go, what the hell was that? No joke, I'm holding the pen, rain is done. And I go, you have to be kidding me, what's going on? I walk all the way back home. It's so stormy out, not a single drop falls. I enter my house, I close the door, lightning, pouring rain. I go, okay, that's fine, okay, sure. I tell him about it, obviously, he was like, that's insane. And, you know, a few days later, we see each other again. And we talk more about the pen. He goes, that's really a crazy thing. And every time we go outside together, it stops raining. Because it's been raining. It's been raining that whole time. Every time we go outside, it stops raining. Every time we go inside, it starts again. And I go, okay, so I don't really know what to do about this. All of a sudden, this like weather kinesis that we have. But as we planned, on Monday morning, we go to Mr. Crepe to break up, and we get to Mr. Crepe, and we have the parking until 11, and we're in there. It's 9:30, and we sit there, and we talk, and of course Mr. Crepe is really busy, and we sit there and we talk, and we break up, and I have to say, I hit him with some real bangers. Just some lines just off the top of my head that really kind of, it was serious stuff. But one of the things that we always did is that he really didn't cry easily, and I do. And every time I cried, he would take one tear off his face, off my face, and put it on his face. Classic. Anyway, so at this point, we're doing all that. It's like 10:45, and I go, okay, I think it's time. And I go, I'd like to formally break up with you. So we shake on it, and we break up. We get up from the table. Immediately, a woman tries to take the table. I go, damn, not even giving us a second. And I go, so despite it all, and despite the fact that we've broken up, I do still need you to help me move in a month from now, because you're the only person I know with a truck and also the only person that'll be around. And as he's dropping me off at my house, he goes, the only thing that would stop me from coming to help you move in would be you telling me no. And I go, okay. And a month later, he shows up at my house and helps me move in. And that was the last time we saw each other. And we talked a few more times after that, and we called, I think once or twice. And yeah, that's how we left it. And, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot as we've started our spring semester a year later. I actually was in London for spring break, famously. And we almost saw each other, but he got his identity stolen. For the 1 week I was there, famously. But yeah, what a first go of it, huh? I'd like to think that I did it all kind of all in one first time. Dated a guy who was a poet and also in a band and also leaving forever, whatever. You know, we kind of hit all the major cliches. Yeah, but I'm glad I did it. But I'll tell you what, it was intense. So this is that's my story. Wow, in a nick of time. I told you it would take the whole hour. Anyway, what we're listening to right now is Going Home by Alice Coltrane. But the song I want to leave you with is Hello Stranger by Barbara Lewis. So thank you so much for listening to Slime Time Radio Hour and me, Janie. This is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Reform Radio. And you've just listened to the story of the first time I fell in love. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next week. Hello Stranger by Barbara Lewis.
Hello, stranger. It seems so good to see you back again. How long has it been?
It seems like a mighty long time. Chupa, chupa, my baby.
It seems like a mighty long time. Oh, I'm so glad you stopped by to say hello to me. Remember, that's the way it used to be.
Seems like a mighty long time. Chibop, chibop, my baby, ooh. It seems like a mighty long time. Chibop, chibop, my baby. Chibop, chibop.